Please note that in this recording, some of the questions may be inaudible, but the master's answers are audible and clear.
Yes, ma'am.
I wrote this down so I wouldn't goof. As a child, we were taught that we had a direct line to God, that we could ask God for help. As an example, please help this person. Please heal this person. God, please help this husband. Or when I'm at the hospital, that I would ask God to please bless the food. And my prayers have always been answered. And now in Sad Man, I'm told that this is wrong, that I should just do my Simran and leave the rest to God. And I really feel very lonely about it. Could you comment on that?
Sister, what is the question? It's a prayer to the Lord.
Yes. And we were always taught to pray and talk all the time to God and say, would you help this person or would you help that? And now Sat Mat says we're not allowed to do that. And it just seems so lonely.
You see, sister, in prayer, there's no question of allowing to do or not allowing to do anything at all. Prayer is between the disciple and the Lord. There are no set words of prayer. No language is required in prayer. Only you exist and the Lord exist. And that is your prayer to the Father. Nobody should come in the way, even not the words, even not your thoughts. Just surrender yourself to the Father and be one with Him. Tune yourself to Him. That is prayer. Meditation is nothing but a prayer. What is meditation? By the dint of our meditation, if you think we can clear our all debts to this creation, I mean, to call it is impossible. It is only meditation is a prayer to the Lord to forgive us for all what we have been doing, for all what stands between us and you. Meditation only helps us to seek the forgiveness of the Father. Meditation is nothing else. We are knocking at His door just to seek forgiveness. So that itself is a prayer. There can be no better prayer than meditation. And prayer, no set words are required, no language is required. For you and the Father, nothing should exist. The whole world should cease to exist when you are praying to the Father. That is a real prayer. Yes.
Master, I have a few questions to ask you. The first one being one that somebody asked me to ask you. Is the protection of a disciple by a master spiritual or physical only, or both?
You see, protection is of the soul. We have a very wrong concept of protection by the Father or by the Master. We have to face our destiny. We have to go through our destiny. Whatever our destiny is in store, we have to account for during the span of this life. Nobody can change the destiny. But meditation, or say the protection by the Master, because we are trying to attend to meditation to please the Master, that will only help you to go through your destiny cheerfully without losing your balance. It will give you strong will power to face your destiny. But if you think that Master should change your destiny, that's a very wrong way of analyzing things, you see. Nobody can change your destiny, because yesterday I said, destiny is not individual unit. It's a chain of events with other people also. My destiny is concerned with my father, with my brother, with my children, with my friends. I have a long circle, and it concerns everybody, destiny of one individual. So if one person's destiny is changed, it means the destiny of all the concerned person has to be changed to some extent. Then there's no purpose of destiny at all. But we get this strength, strong will power, has not to be affected by the destiny.
Is it true that one only gets a certain amount of darshan? Nothing more, nothing less.
Pardon?
Is it true that one only gets a certain amount of darshan, nothing more, nothing less?
What do you mean by certain amount of darshan?
It is...
From the level, there is no amount. There is no calculation how much darshan he got, how much he is lacking behind. No matter even when he is sitting in the front of his beloved, he is still willing for more and more of darshan. So no question of any amount of darshan. He is never satisfied. Because that is his helplessness to be with the beloved. He doesn't calculate how much he is able to accumulate, how much he is lacking. He doesn't calculate at all.
Thank you.
Yes.
Maharaji, do you always feel happy? Do you always feel happy?
Well, when I see you happy, I'm always happy.
Is there any time that you feel unhappy?
Well, when you try to show that you people are very miserable, naturally you can't expect me to laugh and smile.
Thank you.
Yes. Yes, it's true.
Maharaji, I would like to ask you, several of us are confused. When we're walking on the street, small children and people are begging, and the small children showing their mouth, they're hungry. Is it a sin to help them, or is it a sin not to help them? And if we would help them, would we cast their karmas on us?
Sister, you don't take anybody's karma by helping anybody at all. Unless you attach a sin, condition behind the help. If you have an instinct that if I help this person, he should be able to help me in time of need, then you involve yourself through karma. Otherwise, just by helping a person and forgetting about it, you don't incur any karma at all.
Would you say, please, Master, if we're walking on the street and we would give something to these small children?
Well, there's no harm to give to the needy person, but we have to be sure that he will use it rightly, that we are not spoiling him. We are not keeping him away from work. If he has no work opportunity and he needs, there's no harm. If he has an opportunity to work and doesn't want to work, only wants to live on begging, then probably we are not doing the right thing to help him to beg.
Thank you.
Yes.
Master, on a tape, Papa Luke said that satsangis that are divorced have to come back in the next life and finish that marriage.
Satsangi? I have not followed it.
Satsangis who get divorced have to come back in another life and finish that marriage. Is that true or is that guest house gossip?
I think this will make very people who have taken divorce very unhappy to do divorce. So why make them miserable? I don't justify divorce at all. What is the sense of coming back to account and to clear all those karma? Why not clear now and then? Yes.
Διδάσκαλε, από ό,τι διαβάζουμε στα βιβλία του Σάτματ, η αγάπη την οποία έχουμε σε σένα, οφείλεται πάλι από σένα. Θα μπορούσατε και στο διαλογισμό και στην αγάπη να μας τη δώσετε απευθείας εσάς, εσείς.
Anybody can translate me, please.
Master, from whatever we read in the books, you give us your love. The love we feel towards you is because you give us. Could you give us the love and the meditation directly?
What do you mean by giving indirectly and directly? What is the difference between giving love directly and indirectly? Love is love, whether you receive it directly or indirectly, I don't know.
Thank you very much.
Yes, please.
Shakespeare.
Yes, yes, Monty. Come on.
Shakespeare said, "The quality of mercy is not great. It droppeth with the gentle rain."
The Lord is always merciful at us. But for that His mercy, we won't be on the path. The question is how much we are receptive to His mercy. Quality of mercy depends upon our receptivity of receiving the mercy. If we are very, very receptive, we think quality is very good. If we are closed, mercy is still there. You can say quality of mercy is not good. But quality of mercy depends upon our own receptivity, how much we are receptive to His grace. How much we have cleared the vessel to retain what He is trying to give us. How much big our vessel is to retain that. How much clean it is to retain that. Quality depends upon that. It reflects on us rather than on the Lord. Lord's mercy is always the same. Yes? No question of preference, you see. I know what you are referring to. There was one my letter which has confused, but I cleared it very clearly. You must have received the other letter also. Then what is the... You see, somebody wrote to me about the vegetable burgers, vegetable beer, and probably my reaction is that people are still so fond of naming them, you see, all those things, you see, which are non-veg, as vegetables, beer and all that. So probably must have written a very strong letter that perhaps you are still fond of these words, that you want to use these things. But then I made it clear, they have nothing in those things. You can use them as long as it is not alcoholic, as long as they are vegetarian, there's no problem at all. But I was only objecting to the names. Why do you want to give such names? Is it essential to call it beer? Essential to call it burgers and all that? You see, you can give some other names. I only reacted to the names, not to the things, you see. Because I have never tasted them and I have never used them, and right from the childhood we have been allergic to these names. So my reaction is there. Yes?
Master, is calmer of the physical thought or is it of spirit?
Sister, in the mind, first thought comes. When, thought makes a groove, it becomes the obsession to do, then we act. So if the thought has become a groove on your mind, obsession to commit that thing, then you will have to come back to face all that. As you must have read in the Bible, Christ said, not only adultery, looking at a woman with a lustful eye is bad, but to think about committing an adultery is also bad. But if your thought is always like that, you are making obsession in your mind, whether you get an opportunity or not, then that wish is there. Then that, you see, in your mind you are obsessed to do that thing. And that obsession may bring you back. Sorry. Yes.
Maharaji, if every master had a master, who was the master of the first master?
Perhaps the God.
Okay. And I have one more question, please.
You think your question is satisfied?
Yes, sir. This question is very heavy. What are we going to do when you go back to Sach Khand for good?
Well, sooner or later we all have to go to the same place. Yes?
Master, since there are a few of us seeing you for the first time on this physical plane, I want to know something about Dhyan, about visualizing you during Simran. Should we visualize on the face or on the eyes? Can you say something?
Brother, don't try to discriminate eyes and nose and ears and eyebrows and all that. Just look at the face. Face as general, which catches your attention. When you look at the anybody's face, you don't try to specify or try to pick up the nose or eyes or anything. You just look at the face as a whole. Yes, please.
Master, you said that our relation with you is individual. But is it right to act also individual?
What do you mean by that? I'm not following your plan. Can you be more clear?
You said that our relation to you is an individual relation. But is it also good to act in life individual, as only with you and...
Our relationship with the Lord or with the Master is just our individual relationship. Nobody comes in our way. Everybody has an individual relationship with the Master. We don't go to Him through anybody. We are in direct in touch with Him. Okay. Yes, please.
It's not for myself, but there are a number of children here.
I ask this not for myself. There are a number of children here who would have so liked to have had personal contact, but it's been explained to them that they can't have it. Do you think that for a minute you could just talk to the children so they can go home with some...
Children sitting in this group?
Yes.
There are so many of them here?
Well, not to each individual, but a message to them all so that they can go home with a message from Maharaji.
What I'm doing every day, I'm talking to children.
That's the nicest reprimand I've ever had.
I am yet to meet an adult. We are all his children. Yes,
sir. Okay. Maharaji, when we're having your darshan...
Pardon?
When we're having your darshan, I'm sometimes confused as to how to make best use of that. There are two ways that I usually fluctuate between. One is with eyes open, looking and doing simran, trying to collect the attention at the eye center and sort of slipping and sliding and not making it there. And the other one is to just let go and let it take me where it might. How do you advise to make best use of darshan?
Sister, nobody can tell you how to have darshan. Lover doesn't need to be told
how to look at the beloved. He knows how to look at the beloved. It is the helplessness of the lover to look at the face of the beloved, and that is the darshan. There is no any particular technique to look at the face. It is the love which makes us look at the face. Yes?
Maharaji, I was reading in one of our books where Munshi Ram writes that Shabad is so sweet that once you have tasted it, you begin to neglect your domestic duties. And those who ask that their ears be attuned to it should realize that they will then begin to neglect their domestic duties. What I would like to ask is, do we have the right to ask that our ears be attuned to Shabad?
You mean we should not ask the Father to attune us to Shabad? You see, what rasa means to explain is that we automatically get detached from the world. When we taste that sweet nectar within, we automatically start getting detached from the worldly responsibilities, worldly faces, worldly objects. So mind is not there. Then we just do as a matter of duty, matter of responsibility, not with any attachments at all.
But he says that we will neglect our duties.
But sometimes we do. Because it is such a strong pull within that nothing else pleases us anymore.
So if there is
a certain level of consciousness.
And if there is a danger that we will neglect our duties, could Shabad then be withheld from us for a time?
He knows best what is in our interest. Yes.
Master, I've been worrying about you dying before I ever get a chance to even be initiated by you.
So many thousands and millions of people have died. If I died, what difference it makes? The world has not come to stand still.
Still,
this will continue like that. And don't worry about anybody's death. Just only worry about your own growing up.
Thank you.
Yes, please.
Master, it seems that when the disciple is in front of the master, a lot of impurities come to the surface and the mind really kicks back and it's very distressing. I'm wanting to know if the disciple can become so obsessed with guilt that he sort of stops, he's so worried that the master cannot get through to him.
I have not followed your question. Make it a little clearer.
Can the pupil become so worried about his impurities that he is in danger of creating such a block that the master, it's difficult for the master to work with him because he's so obsessed with his guilt?
Sister, I have discussed so many times. We should not carry a guilt conscience about our past. We should take a positive step to attend to meditation. Meditation will automatically take care of all what we have done in the past. Whatever has happened has already happened. It has happened. Forget about it. At least for the future, attend to your meditation. There is no sense in carrying that guilt conscience everywhere with you. Yes, please, anyone can talk.
Excuse me. If someone has inherited a wealth from the father and they want to put it back in the hands that put it back in his hands so it is distributed in the best possible way, because we don't know that. How can one do that?
It is entirely for him to decide. It's 100% his own discretion. Nobody can tell him how to do it.
Can he ask the master's advice on that?
No, master is not a financial advisor.
Because I heard that great master sometimes would tell...
It's different with the great master. He has submitted entirely himself to Babaji Maharaj.
We can't do that.
Well, if we come to that stage, you can. But it's entirely for the disciple to think.
Thank you.
Yes?
Why are there so many saints coming from India?
Well, it's not that so many saints coming from India, where? You mean why there are so many saints in India? Huh? You mean why there are so many saints are born in India?
Yeah.
You see, actually saints are born everywhere. But India is known for its spirituality. So they are generally recognized here in India. In other countries, they may go even unnoticed. In many Arab countries, Persian countries, there have been such great mistakes, history tells us. Even now there may be great mistakes, but they come and go unknown. So it doesn't mean India has monopolized the birth of saints. Saints can come anywhere. Malala Rum was out, Shams Tabriz was out, and so many other saints, you see, Christian saints, and so many other saints, they were all born out. They were Arab saints, very well-known saints. You read the book of Mir Daud, that tells us all the Sant Math teachings. So mysticism has been everywhere in the every part of the world. So it comes and goes. India is known as a spiritual country. At least it used to be known. So they are generally recognized here by Indians. Other people are so civilized, are so much material minded, they just ignore them. Otherwise, India can't monopolize the birth of mystics. Yes?
Master, if everything is perfect, and not a hair on the head can turn gray without the Father knowing it, and every breath is counted, why are we concerned here with the frisking and the checking of people for your safety?
Then there are so many things. Even now you know everything is destined. Why do you work hard to eat? Why do you eat at all? Why do you drink at all? Why doesn't the water come in your mouth? The food comes in your stomach. Then everything is destined. Don't we do anything? This may be also destined. How do we know that this is destined and this is not destined? If everything is happening according to destiny, so this may be also the part of destiny. This has its own part to play. Yes? Yes?
Master, I've heard that what you fear will come upon you.
Pardon?
What you fear, if you fear something, that it will happen in the future.
What is that? What does it say?
If you're afraid of something happening, that it will happen to you in the future. Is that true?
I'm not following your question.
If you're afraid of being attacked or being in some position that you're not wanting to be in, that it would happen to you in the future.
Well, sister, whatever is destined will happen.
So you can't attract it by your negative thoughts?
No matter what you do. What has to happen, has to happen. Yes, yes, please.
Master, how can we tell the difference between the will of the Father and the will of the mind?
Well, will of the mind is always to keep us tied down to senses and to the creation and to the worldly objects, worldly faces, and to bind us to this creation so that we may come again and again and again and again. And will of the Father is that we should go through our destiny and attend to our meditation so that we can escape from the birth and death. So there's a lot of difference between the will of the mind and will of the Father. Anybody can speak. I can't count hands.
Maharaji, there's two questions on behalf of Greek Satsangi. A Satsangi parent has two children and he realizes he loves the one more than the other. This bothers him very much. What can he do about it and why is that?
Well, he knows best why he loves one and not the other two. Because everybody has its own destiny. Every child's destiny is not the same. Every child's relationship with the parents is not the same. And every parent's relation with the child is also not the same. They also differ according to the background of the child and according to their karmas, which they have to go through. So, normally parents love their all children. But some may be little more and some may be little less. It depends also from the attitude of the children.
Thank you. And the second is, when does the karma with the family end? When the family splits or when one dies?
Karma with the family, when you quit the stage, you have nothing to do with the family. When an actor leaves the stage, he has no relationship with anybody on the stage. So when we die, we have no relationship with anybody at all.
Thank you.
Guruji, what is more important, that which is in the master's heart, that which is in the disciple's heart for the master, or in the disciple's mind? What is more important? What is more important, that which is in the disciple's heart?
Disciple's past?
No.
Disciple's part.
That which is in the disciple's heart, or that which is in the disciple's mind?
Disciple's part or mind? Heart. Thoughts. Well, disciple knows best what is in the disciple's thoughts. And the other one is what is in his mind. Mind and thoughts are same thing.
Mind or heart?
Well, heart is only expresses what comes in the mind. Mind expresses through the heart. Mind doesn't speak itself at all. Mind speaks through the tongue. Mind's emotions are felt through the heart. So mind doesn't speak. It is the tongue which speaks. But mind is at the back of the tongue. So there's no difference at all, whether it is the thought or the heart or whatever it is. Yes, please.
Wait. Master, there are five deadly foes that bother all of us. And is meditation the only way to destroy them?
That is what I have been told. That is what I think is the right thing.
Thank you.
Master. There's no other way to control your mind. Because when we go beyond the realm of mind and Maya, then all these perversions of the mind don't bother us at all. This is only as long as mind is dominating the soul and mind is the slave of the senses, then only we are bothered about these perversions. So when mind is controlling the senses and soul is controlling the mind, then these perversions don't bother us. Yes, please.
In Dadu's poetry, he talks a lot about poison. One quote here is, "The one who converts poison into nectar and fire into water," meaning a saint. Can you tell me about this poison? What is it and where does it come from?
You mean these perversions of the mind?
No, he specifically says poison. He mentions it over and over again and says, "The saint converts the poison into nectar."
You see, poison is as long as the mind is towards the senses. Mind is poisoned. Our mind is having a poison. Poison of these five perversions. But when you taste the nectar, then poison goes out from the mind. These are the poison instincts in the mind, these five perversions. But when mind tastes the nectar, then these five perversions, these poisons, just leaves the mind. It's just a poetic way of expression. Yes, please.
Maharaji, two things. The one is about meditation. Yesterday, Mr. Babani told us about how when we raise our consciousness from our feet to the eye center, that the body becomes numb. What I would like to know is, from this stage, when the body is numb or dead to the life force, is the journey very far from there to the light or the sound?
As soon as you are able to withdraw your consciousness to the eye center, first thing you will encounter is the light. Then, along with the light, you will start hearing the sound too. Coming to the eye center means to see the light and to hear the sound. Yes, please.
Maharaji, up until now I have been a student of yoga and we have done pranayama in class. I am now committed to this path. Should I continue or discontinue any pranayama class?
Sister, I have said so many times, there's nothing wrong with the yoga. Pranayama, hatha yoga, they are all for maintaining health, good health. Yoga is good, it keeps you healthy, there's nothing wrong with it. But it has nothing to do with spirituality. So we don't want to confuse one with the other.
Yes.
We are not against yoga. I have been doing yoga 10-15 minutes about 15 years ago. Just to, you see, keep your health. When you don't get much time to walk or do other exercises, yoga helps you to retain your health.
Yes.
But it has nothing to do with the meditation.
Yes.
Spirituality is something different than yoga.
And pranayama? I mean,
pranayama is also
a
part of yoga.
And it is all right to do it as long as it's...
Perfectly all right. All right. Breathing exercise, there's nothing wrong with them.
Okay.
Yes?
Thank you.
Yes, please.
Maharaji, can it be in your karma never to be able to withdraw your consciousness or see the light in your lifetime, in this life? Can it be predestined that you will just try all your life?
Well, sister, normally we should be able to see the light during one span of life. There's no reason why should we not see the light. If we are tending to our meditation and we stick on our diet and all other principles, we are building our treasure on a rock, on a good foundation, then there's no reason why should we not make the progress.
Thank you, Maharaj.
Yes.
Regarding the 2.5 hours for meditation per day, in Delhi, you said that the exact amount of time is not important, that it's more the attitude. Could you explain that?
What is there to explain? I said 2.5 hours of meditation is not enough. Our attitude towards the meditation is more essential. We should not just close ourselves for a couple of hours in a room and meditate and forget about Santmat principles or Santmat. It must reflect in our daily actions, in our daily life, in our daily dealing. Whole day we have to spend in meditation. That is all meditation. When we are living in the effect of meditation, when we are not compromising with anything else at all. Some people think probably only 2 or 2.5 hours is essential to give meditation, then they are free to do anything they feel like. That attitude is wrong. It is not the time so much which is important, it is the attitude of the mind towards the meditation which is so important.
Maharaji?
Yes?
I have a question about the inner Shabad. Recently I read in Spiritual Heritage, if one does not contact the inner Shabad during one's lifetime, one might as well have been born an animal. Now I just wondered, many of us have been in...
The idea is, if we are not attached to the Shabad and Naam during lifetime, then we can come down.
Does that imply being
initiated? If you are not taking a new birth.
I see. It doesn't necessarily refer to actually.
But you have not rightly understood the page. You have not rightly understood. I mean, rightly understood what you have read.
Thank you, Maharaj.
If we are not attached to the Shabad and Naam, if we are not on the path, if we are not taking a new birth, then naturally, according to our karmas, we have to come and go. Yes, yes, anybody can speak.
Master, when I am sitting in Bhadran, I sometimes hear a sound like the horn of an ambulance.
Sometimes you hear?
I hear a sound which reminds me of the horn of an ambulance car from hospital, and that sound remains. Should I return to Simran then?
Well, sister, whatever type of sound you hear, give your full attention to it. With the help of Simran, with the help of concentration, all other sounds will fade out. And this very sound of Shabad will become distinct and clearer and pulling. Other sounds automatically fade out. Yes, you have something more to say?
Well, I don't think I got an answer that I understood as far as my request that you...
I didn't understand your request even.
Okay. Yesterday, I requested of you that if you would give to me beyond what I've tried to give to you. In other words, I've requested that you be giving to me in the thing that I desire. And... I didn't hear yes or no in my mind. That you, yes, you would give to me now.
Well, brother, we get what we deserve.
Huh.
We should be more deserving rather than asking. We should become more receptive. His grace is always there. He is always merciful. He is always giving. But we are a very poor beggar. We don't know what to beg. He's a great giver. We are very poor beggar. So be receptive what he gives.
Thank you.
Yes, please.
Maharaji, would you talk to us about actions and intentions? Sometimes it seems that people do actions.
Actions?
Actions, behavior. And intention. Sometimes people excuse their poor actions by saying their intention was good, or their emotions, or they felt that they should do it that way, but their behavior wasn't good. Can you talk to
sister,
us about that?
I mean, I can't speak about anybody else at all. I can only speak about my behavior and my actions, because I know what I mean when I behave. And what other person has behind what he's behaving, nobody can say. Nobody knows anybody's motive or behaving.
What about the actions? If the actions are not so good, is that to be excused by their good intentions?
I don't know. This good and bad is also a very comparative word. I can't say unless there's something particular thing, you see. Yes?
Master, how can we best help our children when they are attracted to drugs and alcohol?
When they are attracted to?
Drugs and alcohol, teenage children.
Well, sister, we must create that atmosphere of spirituality at our home. And we must give full time to our children. We ignore them. For our own engagements, for our own pleasures of life, we ignore our children. So, when the children are ignored, then naturally they don't get the right type of guidance and company outside the houses. The parents are careful and they give their full time and are devoted to their children for bringing up, there's no reason why should they go astray. Well, parents themselves are so busy, they are not the right examples before the children. So naturally children go astray. When they are all 24 hours, they are quarreling, they are divorces, there are so many ups and downs in the family, children are naturally affected. They are very tender-hearted, they are easily molded and influenced by the outside atmospheres then. Then they try to find solace and guidance outside, which is not the right guidance at all for them. So we have to become a living example before that and do our duty.
Master?
Yes?
I was handed a couple questions here on behalf of someone in the Sangha here. They say, Master, why do masters have to go through karma before they become masters?
Well, brother, whosoever has a body has to go through karma. No body can exist without karma. No matter whosoever he may be, every body can only exist through karma. Without karma, no body will exist. Whether body goes through a good karma or bad karmas, that is just a way of looking at things. But nobody can exist without karma.
Second part of this is, it says, do all masters have previous births, or do some come straight into the creation to pick up their mark sheet?
Well, it depends upon the Lord. He can send somebody straight also. I think I have made it very clear in some of my books. You see, we are only concerned with a rich man. How he has become rich, everybody has his own background. Some have worked very hard and become rich. Some have inherited a lot of wealth and become rich. So we are only concerned with the riches of that person. Whosoever has money is rich. How he has become rich, that is not our concern at all. So father can also send direct, there's no problem. And people can also aspire to that level of consciousness to become the master. Or anybody can be picked up by the master and make him just like himself. That entirely depends on the master or the Lord. Yes?
Thank you. Maharaji, I'm wondering whether the saints take all of their initiates to the highest region, or whether some can go to...
Ultimately, every soul which has been initiated will go back to the Father.
To Anami Desh, Maharaj?
Every soul must go back to the Father who has come on the path. It's a question of time. Some go sooner, some go later. Christ said, first may be the last may be the first. Many are called, few are chosen to go back to the Father in that very lifetime. Others will go another lifetime. But every soul must go back to the Father.